Hi, everybody. Anna here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Anna and Susanna Show. As many of you know, we've changed up our format a bit. Susanna and I felt called to go a bit spiritually deeper during our talks with each other, but we still wanted to laugh and make fun of things like Mariah Carey at the same time. I guess you consider our new format a Bible study that goes off the rails. Sometimes really far off the rails, so put on your seatbelt. We want you to know that we see your messages and emails, and we're so encouraged and thankful by your loving, kind words and support. If you love the show, could you do us a favor? First, subscribe to us through iTunes, and then give us a quick rating and review. If you think a friend or family member may enjoy the show or be encouraged by it, please share us with them. It's an honor to spend our Wednesdays with you. With that out of the way, buckle up, ladies and men. The Anna and Susanna Show is coming up next.
Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Anna Lynn Thomas, the founder of the humor website for women, Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's.
And this is Susanna B. Lewis of Whoa, Susanna. Welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show.
Here we are. Today is a gorgeous day. Finally, yeah. We're starting to get some really good weather.
Us too. It's beautiful today. It's springy. Spring has sprung.
It rained for probably what felt like 10 straight days. And when you're a mom with your small babies, you start to lose faith in the world, in your life.
You got to get in the Word and read about Noah.
You got to get into the Word. You have to be like, other people are suffering far more than I am right now. Hold up in my freaking house while rain pelts the freaking windows. And it's just your kids are bored.
And when like, at least I'm not on an ark with giraffes.
Yes.
But it kind of feels like you're on an ark with giraffes, doesn't it? When you're cooped up in the house for days.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, the toddler just gets bored. So she just keeps walking into the kitchen. And I'm like, why are you going into the kitchen? Get out of the kitchen. And then she, you know, will bring me like, you know, a salad bowl filled with the lunch's salad still in it. You know, bring it into the family room while I'm nursing. That's great. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Put it back. Freaking put it back. You know.
Yep. Anything to pass the time, yeah.
Gets the doggy bags, unravels it all. And a lot of people are like, well, just say no. And I'm like, well, I do say no. But when you have an infant and you're breastfeeding, and that's when she takes her moment to strike. I mean, I just don't know what you do. And I yell, put it back, and then she does. But it's like all day. It's just like, kill me. I just want to go outside. Let's just go outside.
I would like to know some statistics on the mental health of mothers in the Seattle area.
Really and truly.
Seriously. Think about it. How many days does it rain there in a year? Like 360 or something?
Yes. It is like 90%. Honestly,
what do they do?
Well, they have a really high depression rate. I know that. And a really high suicide rate, unfortunately, which is just so awful. You just want to be like, gosh, move somewhere else.
But Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. So honestly, to be a mom where they can't go outside and play. I can't even imagine it. I really can't even imagine it. So anyway, I think it was less than 10 days, maybe 5. But by the fifth day, I was like, oh, my God. And then she'd want to go outside while it's raining. I'm like, honey, no, that's not going to happen either. Okay. So we survived it. We've got some good weather ahead of us. I feel alive again. So here I am.
Good. Yeah. I was glad to see the sun this morning as well.
What have you been up to?
Well, yesterday I was asked to speak at a local prayer breakfast. In the South, all of our little towns have different festivals. Mm-hmm. We have strawberry festivals and peach festivals and, you know, all this stuff. So I was asked to speak at a little town not far from here for the Teapot Festival.
Yeah.
Where they spend a week celebrating teapots.
Oh my gosh.
There's a teapot museum. It's a really big deal and it's a whole week of festivities and the teapots are beautiful, I might add.
Wow, yeah.
And so they kicked off the Teapot Festival yesterday with the mayor's prayer breakfast. And the mayor of the small town hosted a prayer breakfast, and we had breakfast. And so they asked me to be the speaker this year. And so I spoke, and our local news was there. And she was like, "Susanna, can I get an interview with you?" And she'd already done the interview with the mayor and with the, the chairman of the festival this year. And I was like, "Oh gosh." And I've been on the news several times, and I always get really nervous. I don't know, something about that just lens right in your face.
Totally.
It just kind of makes my knees shake a little bit. And so she's got me standing up there, and she's like, "So, Susanna, tell us what you're most looking forward to about the prayer breakfast this morning." And I said, "Breakfast." And I just started that was the most intelligent answer I could come up with. I mean, she wanted me to say, "I'm just really looking forward to the fellowship and, the friendships here and speaking about this, and I'm going to speak about this," and da da da. She wanted something intelligent. And
Yes.
I said, "Breakfast." That's the only word I could come up with.
Did you just like walk away then, or just stare right at the camera?
I stared right at the camera and said, "Breakfast." And then I looked at her face and I just started laughing. And anyway, she was like, "Okay, thanks, Susanna." And da, 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 and she went on into her next segment. So I went and sat down. I was like, "Oh my gosh." After the fact, you think, what an idiot. I sound like such an idiot. And so I went and sat down, and it aired on the news yesterday at 5, 6, and 10. And so I was watching it at 5 o'clock. They didn't show it, and they just showed me up there speaking. And they showed the mayor's interview and stuff. And then at 6, they kind of gave a little blurb about more on the story at 10. So I was like, okay, at 10 o'clock, I'm going to be looking like a fool. My phone's going to be blowing up, and everybody's going to be like, "Breakfast, seriously? That's all you come up with?" And so I'm watching at 10, nervously biting my fingernails. They cut out the whole segment of me. I was like,
Was funny.
was funny, but
That
I mean,
was hilarious.
I'm glad they did, but I mean, really, it was so bad that they cut. Now they can put on the, on these news segments, they can put on toothless people that saw an alien in a cornfield, but they cut me out for saying breakfast. I was like, it must have been really bad. They cut out my whole segment. They're like, "Local author Susanna Lewis spoke this morning." That was it. That was my airtime. And then they got me standing up behind the podium. You could see my bra strap. So I'm over here just winning,
You're winning.
just winning up at the prayer breakfast. It
Everything.
went well though. It was a good little speech
Oh,
and a
I
good time.
bet.
But I look like an idiot with my breakfast and my bra strap hanging out.
When I lived downtown, we there was at one point where we lived in the Old Market, which is probably the most touristy area, brick streets, horse carriage rides, restaurants, shops, all that kind of stuff. And we lived right in kind of the heart of it. And we would take Bruno potty regularly. This was before we had kids. But because we were in that area, Rob and I got interviewed by the local news all the time. So if like there was a like if there was a news story and they wanted to get someone's advice on it, it was like they wanted the ambiance of the Old Market, I guess. So they would, always ask. So people were always like, "Saw you on the news. Didn't know you were so opinionated about this topic." I was like, "I wasn't. I can assure you, I wasn't." But I remember like one time I just couldn't shut up. And I didn't even care that much, but I guess Victoria's Secret Pink had come out with, and I was wearing Victoria's Secret Pink jogging pants, but they had come out with like a "Who cares about studying?" It was kind of like anti-feminist. Let's put it this way: made girls look like they were way more into partying than being astute, and so it had a lot of controversy. And they're like, "What do you think about that?" And I was like, I don't know. I just went on and on and on and on and on and on. And then I could feel myself going on and on and on and like not able to, when you just feel yourself going too far, but you can't stop yourself.
Yes, I do.
You know what happened to me the last time I felt that way? One time when I worked at the University of Chico, the director of housing, all of the big wigs had a Christmas party. And it was at this man's house, and he was the director of the financial department or whatever. And I think that they were a Christian family. And They had mulled wine at this party, which tasted delicious, like apple cider. And it's the kind of thing that sneaks up on you, mm-hmm. where yeah. you're totally fine. Then all of a sudden you just feel yourself like pelvic thrusting to like some, yes. you're like, whoa, my hips are engaged. I must be feeling the mulled wine. So when that happened, Rob always jokes that like if I'm like at a party or a gathering, like this thing happens with me where he's like, it's like a microphone drops from the ceiling and you're like, is this thing on? Is this thing on? And he's like, and you dominate, which is sometimes good, probably most of the time bad. And that happened uh-huh. with these, they're all director, they're all older professional people who have a sense of humor. Surely they knew who I was, but
yeah,
I was telling them that somehow I started to say, we were talking about being competitive, and I go, yeah, I'm really competitive. And I said, I've been known that when I win, I will hump the loser. Okay. And I got up and I showed them about how when a coworker, we were playing phase 10 and she was extremely competitive. And when I beat her, I humped her shoulder and I stood, she was sitting and I was humping her. And I was like, how's it feel to get humped by the winner, Faye? How's it feel, Faye? How's it feel, Faye? And I demonstrated it on an innocent coworker who was getting humped as I demonstrated it. And I sat down and I reached for Rob's hand and I said, oh God, it's the mulled wine. He's like, yeah, you might want to take a break because
what have I done?
And I think I did it for like 10 minutes where I was like showing them, just humping my innocent coworker like, how do you like that, Faye? How do you like that, Faye?
Somebody's going around the back of the house and unwinding the hose. It's Hosanna. She's humping an innocent.
Oh, God. You know, you just look back at some of those times where you're like, I didn't even know that I was buzzed. And here I was humping this person.
But see, reenacting. This is why I can't drink. Yeah. I have so many regrets. Remember last week's verse about get rid of all your sinful nature? That's I can't be living for the Lord when I got I'm up and vote. I'm telling you, I do some ridiculous things, and it's just like you. I go sit down, and I'm like, did that really just happen, or is this a nightmare?
I still look back at it, and I remember, like, I think I remember people laughing and my director boss laughing, but they had to have had this thought. And, you know, the guy, this Christian guy, his wife was just one of those older, sophisticated, classy women. Mm-hmm. And I was humping mm-hmm. over and over and over again. Anyway, yeah. You know, I just say, take me as I am.
Yep.
And accept
me. We've all been there.
Yeah. And then I'm sure they were wondering, like, well, where were you? Were you humping Faye in front of staff? Because it was a staff retreat with our employees that I was humping Faye. That was, I probably broke laws in California. I'm sure that was uh-huh. sexual harassment. I'm sure nowadays I would have been probably publicly shamed, arrested, uh-huh. and on uh-huh. Huffington Post.
Of course.
Probably.
Can we get Faye on the show? I'd like to ask her some questions.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, well, anyway. So let's talk about last week's verse.
Okay.
Which is humping straight into James.
Put off that sinful nature, Anna.
Can I tell you that nothing is more satisfying than humping somebody after you beat them and they're really competitive and nasty, and then you beat them and then you just hump their shoulder while they're still sitting. The dominance.
I've never done that. I've beat people at things and then cussed them out in a parking lot, but I don't know about humping. Maybe I should try that next time.
Try it. My friend Corey and my husband were a team, and my friend Teresa and I were a team playing Cranium, and it got really, really nasty competitive. Whenever Rob is playing opposite me, it gets nasty. Always. I don't know why. And mm-hmm. we beat him, and it was just like the last stretch. It was so close and we beat him, and I started to do push-ups, and it pissed him off. If you do push-ups after beating a man at a game, they both left. They just walked out the door. And when they came back, I was still doing push-ups. I was on my knees at that point doing the. These are tips. If you really want to torture the person you beat,
I'm taking notes on this, really. I've never thought of humping and push-up. I always do the really cliche, you know, bam in your face. And then we just, you know, we're
Move
done.
On. Yeah. Yeah. Push-ups, try it. It only matters when the game is tense. The push-ups, do it. Just, it makes them so mad.
I'm going to do, you know, when I beat the girl at basketball a few months ago out in the driveway, and I made her post an Instagram video that her mother was the greatest athlete to ever live and that she got beat by her 35-year-old mother. I did that, but I should have just dropped to the ground and done push-ups and just embarrassed the crap out of her is what I should have done.
Yeah.
Or humped
her shoulder.
Oh, gosh. The DCS driving by, be like, why is that lady humping her child?
She's all like rocking in the chair, getting thumped.
Mama, you're scarring me emotionally. Please stop.
She's like, I'm going to be talking about this in college in one of my safe spaces.
Somebody quick, give me a coloring book.
Yes, exactly. Hurry.
Oh, gosh. Good. Okay, great.
James 1, 21, 22.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, get rid of all moral filth. He's not mincing words either.
Get rid of
all your moral crap in the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So get out of the world. Stop humping. I can see him. I can just picture him saying this to me while I'm humping at the dinner party.
Yeah.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So this kind of touched us a little bit talking about last week about how it's so easy to read the word and go to church and feel convicted and be like, yes, yes. And then you go home and just back to normal. you know, start yelling at people.
Yeah.
And so to actually read the word, actually do it. Don't just listen to it. Actually do what it says. And then we talked about great ways that we can kind of keep the word accessible to us by putting certain verses, writing them down, maybe putting them on little note cards, putting those in our pocket. That really helps.
Yeah.
So
don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. So I wanted to talk a little bit, something that I've been kind of going through, and I bring this up a lot, and I have, you know, I've been pregnant and post-pregnant for 2.5 years, and I've been having a really hard time getting the weight off. And like I said, I don't really care so much about the aesthetics of it. It's just, I just can't fit into my clothes and it gets depressing, and now summer's coming, and now the only thing I can wear to church now is like a razorback tank top. Nike shorts.
You've got people to hump, Anna. you got to get back to your humping.
I got to get back to my humping shape. So I have been really struggling with it more so than I ever have in my entire life, which I've always kind of struggled with my weight. I was a chunky kid. I think I'm prone to being chunky. I don't think it's an excuse. I definitely think I enjoy food. So, you know, it's hard to say. You know, some people are like eating a donut and they're like, it's in my jeans. I don't know what to tell you. And it's like, well, okay, kind of.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of like how you were a chunky kid. Sometimes you're just a little bit prone to the chunky than other people, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And so I've always been that way, which is fine. We all have our cross to bear, and dang it, that one's mine. So
our cross to bear claws.
Our cross to bear claws. Speaking of bear claws, it's so funny you say bear claw, because this is the thing that took me down and through a spiritual journey. Okay? Because
the bear claw.
My experience with the bear claw had me spiral down, and then I picked up on a spiritual journey that took me, you know, to a little higher place of learning. So I have been trying to, what I really want to do is, I don't want to do just low carb or do these things that, because a lot of those diets give me anxiety when it's time to get off. So let's say I do low carb, I lose 20 pounds, and then I get invited to a birthday party. That will give me a little bit of anxiety. Like, what should I do about the cake? Should I eat the cake? Should I just have a bite of the cake? Then I go there and I eat 3 cakes because I've been deprived, right? So I wanted to try I don't know if you guys have heard about the Way Down. It's actually kind of a Christian-inspired diet, or like the Eden diet, which is basically you only eat when you're hungry, you stop when you're satisfied, not when you're full. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so I've been trying it, and it actually started to work really, really well. But it's actually harder than it sounds because of how much mindless eating we do, right?
Right, yeah.
And so I started to struggle a little bit. I couldn't figure it out. And I actually saw like a Oprah was interviewing, and I was flipping through my Facebook feed, and she was interviewing a woman. Her book is Women, Food, and God, or maybe it's backwards. I'll let you guys know in the notes. But it was so she was being interviewed by her, which is exactly like Way Down. But she talks about you really got to go to the source of why you're using food as comfort. And I'm not one of those people who can go back and say, you know, I've had a pretty good life and things are pretty good right now. And so it was hard for me to be like, gosh, why do I mindlessly eat? And I realized that even throughout my whole life when I've struggled with food, I've always felt entitled to it because I've always worked really, really hard. Right. So for instance, you know, because my sister was like, well, yeah, you're working really hard now and you've got your kids. But what about before? I was like, do you remember my job in Chico where it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm giving a drunk girl who's not breathing CPR? That job was 80 hours a week. I was always on call. That job was stress mania. So when my direct supervisor was like, let's go get some drinks and some appetizers. Like if I would have gone and been like, I'll just have half a glass of wine and a side salad. I was like, no, I deserve the best drink and the best appetizer because I deserve it.
Sure.
So, and I've always kind of been that way. And so that's kind of with me now when I'm so stressed and with the girls and all of that, if I have to deprive myself with food or if I have to calmly eat or whatever, I just feel like I'm entitled to eat something. Well, anyway, long story short, Rob decided to, he took Lucy out for errands and they brought back some donuts. And at first I was mad. I was like, why did you bring that Satan into this house? You know? And then get behind me, Satan. And then I was like, you know what? Like I'm an adult and I need to learn that I can have a little bit and then walk away. I mean, that's how that I shouldn't be gluttonous. Okay. Flash forward to 9 o'clock when I'm shoving a bear claw in my mouth, okay? Mm-hmm. Shoving it in, barely even conscious that I'm eating it, hungry, desperate, and then I'm bitter. And I'm bitter because it's like I even have to care that I'm eating this bear claw or whatever, feeling sorry for myself. So I really needed to analyze what am I doing psychologically that's causing me to do this? And one thing that I've realized is that even though my agent is shopping my book right now and all that's going on for probably a good solid year when it comes to my writing and hoo-has, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. I'll put it that way. So for instance, I've been doing more videos now because that's how Facebook promotes us better, is with videos. They show it more into the feed. So I want to reach my fans more. So I've been doing more videos, but I don't know what to do. I'm like, is this really what I need to do, is to do videos? I mean, I'm a writer, even though I enjoy it and it's a total blast. So then I don't know what to do. So I'm all day long circling in my head. Should I do a status update? Well, I don't know what to say. What am I going to write my next post on? I don't know what to do. And a lot of it's because my children take up so much of my mental space, right? So I've realized that when I don't know what to do, I just go graze, you know, I just go into the kitchen, handful of so I'm like, okay, I sit down to write my column for the Omaha World Herald. And then I'm like, I got nothing. So get up, get a handful of cashews, you know. So I've realized that when I don't know what to do, there must be some kind of, so instead of going to God and being like, Lord, I do not know what to do right now. I just don't. I'm stuck. Instead of doing that, I go to food as a distraction, as a comfort, to alleviate that anxiety of constantly not knowing what to do. So all of that to say is that I used a couple of verses about God, you know, lighting our path, helping us put one step in front of the other. And I wish I had the verses right in front of me so I could quote them directly. But I put those on little note cards and I put them in my pocket. And so whenever I got this feeling like, you know, Monday, Saturday, Sunday went by, I had nothing interesting to say on my platforms. You know how this is. You get that anxiety. Like, if I don't put anything on my platform.
Yeah.
You know?
You start sharing old stuff from 2011.
Yeah. You start to get desperate and worried. You don't know what to do or say. You don't want to be gone too long. Mm-hmm. And so then I don't know what to do. So I just, when I don't know what to do, I've just been, instead of kind of going into the kitchen to be distracted by a little, you know, leftover salad even. It doesn't even have to be bad food. It's just the idea that when I get that feeling of I don't know what to do next, instead of using food to comfort me, I need to be going and praying. And so that's right. One, I know that that's not a direct translation of what James is saying here, but it is one way in which it did kind of move me this week in terms of being disciplined. Don't just listen to the word, do what it says, trust God, give it to him, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. We can make all kinds of things our idols.
Right.
Food can be our idol. I mean, a whole array of things. That's what we go to instead of going to God.
Yep.
I think we're all guilty of that.
You know, absolutely. Drugs, sex, bad TV, reality TV. It's just a yes. way to zone out and to not feel our feelings in the moment. And instead of cozying up to God and his word and prayer when I'm feeling anxiety or worried or something like that, I'll flip on a bad TV show. And yeah. Well, I say bad just because they're dumb. You know, they're not adding to my life. And that isn't to say you can't reward yourself with some entertainment. I'm just saying that there are certain times where I should be going to God and I'm just distracting myself with other things that are bringing me zero value, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think, I'm guilty of that as well.
So anyway, I remember telling my mom, I kind of told my mom the next day, I was like, I couldn't quit the bear claw. And she's like, honey, who can quit a bear claw? I was like, you know, that's a good point. It is a good, who can quit a bear claw? Really? Can you?
Just pure evil. You need to get that evil out of your house and do a cleanse.
Just burn. Just put the whole donut box on fire.
You need to go through pray some scripture over your over your house there. Get behind me,
Satan.
Get them bear claws out of there now. They're stumbling block.
Okay, so I want to talk. We talked about this. Actually, I shared a lot last week on this verse for this week. But could you share what we're going to focus on for this week? And by the way, before you get into that, actually, let's take a quick commercial break. You guys know me. I love stories. That's why I have a Facebook Live show called Funny Stories of My Life. You know, it's kind of my thing. I love reading them. I love writing them. And that's why I'm so excited about StoryWorth. I don't know about you, but in my family, every time we get together, we laugh until we cry over some of our best, most hilarious stories. What if we could take those stories and make it into a keepsake? Now you can. Here's how it works. StoryWorth makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their stories with weekly emailed story prompts, questions you've never thought to ask. At the end of the year, they'll get their stories bound in a beautiful hardcover book. Strengthen your family bonds and get to know your loved ones in a whole new way. Cool, right? Here's what you do. Purchase a subscription for someone you love, and each week, StoryWorth sends them an email with a question about their life. Then, they simply reply to this email with their story or can record it over the phone by calling the StoryWorth number. All stories are private and only shared with family that you choose. After a year, their stories will be bound into a beautiful keepsake book. I can't wait to give this to my mom for Mother's Day, who also happens to be an amazing writer, so I think she's really going to freak out when she gets it. I love the story about how she met my dad on a blind date. It's such a funny, beautiful story. Now I can expect to see it in the book she creates. What I love about this is that, as a family of storytellers, StoryWorth has created a wonderful and unique platform for us to create something that can be treasured for generations to come. To learn more and get a whopping $20 off, visit StoryWorth.com/ASShow. That's A as in Anna, S as in Susanna, show. Again, visit StoryWorth.com/ASShow when you subscribe. Okay, so what do we got for this week?
Okay, this week we've got James 1, 2 through 5. We're sticking with the book of James.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So what you just said, when you're lacking wisdom and what to do, it does not say you should ask the bear claw. It says you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault.
Yes.
I had written a little note in my Bible next to this verse, and I don't know if my preacher said this or if I came up with it. I'm just going to take credit for it because it's really good.
Okay.
Next to this, I said, he probably said this. Mm-hmm. Instead of using instead of making this a woe opportunity, make things a grow opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Not woe, but grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, that's pretty good.
It works with Woe Susanna too. So you kind of got a thing going on.
I told you somebody asked me if it was a W-O-E Susanna.
Woe Susanna.
I said, now look, I know my mother died, but come on. It's not woe. Let's reevaluate some things here. It's not woe.
Could you imagine if there was a blog that started from something horrible like that and then just called Woe Susanna? And that's how you just come on, go see how Susanna's doing today. Uh-oh, not good.
Just sue them. It's a clear violation of something. Just like, I don't know. She was serious. She was like, "Whoa, no, is that W-O-E?" I said, "No, ma'am. I'm sorry. Same. It's not." Anyway, speaking of though, my mother dying, I've clung to this scripture in so many ways, and that too in 2 Corinthians 2 about how we suffer in order to help others through their suffering. I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand. That you know when I've just seen the Lord work in so many ways and say, look, you're going through this, but how can you use this as an opportunity to help others?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know that I have not? Nothing has happened to you that I haven't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
God never promised us to have a, you know, time without woe or sorrow, but thank God he gives us hope through that time and in order to grow us.
Yes.
And to test our faith and to bring out our patience and to produce patience. But you know, first though, when we have trials, it brings out all of the human nature to the surface that we've talked about, all of the junk. It brings out the anger, rebellion, eating, self-pity, complaining, all of that stuff. So we have to deal with those things first, with those ungodly things first, before the patience can come forth and the Lord can really work through us during our times of trials.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, too, Murphy's Law. Anything that can happen will, you know? And sometimes we can really feel that way. And I know I felt like that last week when I finally started to make some commitments and it was like I was getting hit by all sides in my personal relationships, damage to our home. You know, so many different crazy things were coming at me when I was trying to get stuff done and get focused and get committed to, you know, a new schedule.
Yeah.
And you know, it was so interesting to me because I really did use this. I used this verse in so many ways. You know, I've been waking up again early because it really is the only time I can get stuff done without stress. And, you know, I woke up at 5 and the night before the poppy gets a cold, a tooth is coming through. She woke up every 45 minutes. You know, it's that kind of thing where it's like, oh my gosh. My gosh. I've got to wake up. But I woke up and I just said, you know what? This is a test and a challenge, and this is how you get it done sometimes. And this is a gift, and I was wide awake, and I got up, and I was able to take a nap later, and it was fine, you know? And so that seems like a sort of maybe superficial way of putting it, but we really are. I mean, sometimes it can just, when it rains, it pours.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like that saying that, you know, bad things come in threes.
Yes.
Isn't that oddly true?
Yeah.
It's weird. So anyway, I don't know how all that works, but to switch your mind frame from I'm a victim, this isn't what God wants for me. Nothing ever goes right for me. This is too hard. I'll never get through this. I'll never survive this. That we are to actually flip that and say, be thankful for it, because this is the exact test and challenge that under pressure that forces us to have faith, and then changes everything. So like, so here's the 2 through 4, consider it a sheer gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and show its true colors.
Yeah.
So
I like how the message says it too. It says, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed and not deficient in any way. Because isn't that what we do? We try when we're uncomfortable. We try to get out of it as quickly as we can.
I mean, immediately. Immediately. I am uncomfortable. This has to end now.
Right now. Yeah. And sometimes the Lord just allows things to continue until we learn the lesson. Mm-hmm. And the quicker that we open up our eyes and are have receiving hearts of, Lord, what is it you're trying to teach me here? Then the quicker we will get through it. But when we're stubborn and hard-headed and just try to find our own way out of it, God's like, well, you haven't learned anything from this. So we're just going to let the test keep going.
Yeah.
You know,
we want to jump out and literally leave our bodies. So leave our body while we're eating a bear claw, leave our body while we're watching, you know, some stupid TV show. We just want to leave our bodies and escape and not feel the feelings that so many times we really need to feel.
Right. Right.
Because sometimes the feelings are just so overwhelming, we don't think we're going to survive them, you know? And I know that you, I know that you experience that, where that feeling is just so intense, but we do survive it.
Absolutely. And
it forces us then to have faith. And then it says your faith life is forced into the open and show its true colors. So do you really believe what God says? Do you really have faith, or are you kind of full of it when things are going good? You know, it's so easy to just brag about things when things are going good. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's the key, when your faith is tested, to just cling to it.
Yeah. And that's like that for anything. Like, I remember, you know, waking up, I woke up early, like 3 days in a row, and I started bragging. Like, I was giving people tips. I was like, listen,
humping on people. And
I was like, rule number one, if you win, hump them. It's the only way to really just put them in their place. Rule number two, I forget. Wake up at 5. So I was like bragging about, I was like, yeah, if you want to get stuff done and you have kids, if you want to live your life with purpose, then, you know, you got to do what it takes. And that's waking up at 5. So, you know, after 3 days, I'm feeling real good about myself. And then day 4, when the baby starts crying, I'm whistling a different tune. I'm like, well, but it is really hard, you know, or whatever. But,
well, that's with anything. We talked about that last week, how it's so easy to be on fire about something for, what, 5, 6, 7 days, and then it just fizzles, you
know? Yes.
When we have a true commitment to something and see it all the way through, that's when we see God at work.
Yeah.
And that's when we can kind of, not brag, but that's when we can say, hey, look, what I've gotten up at 5 a.m. 8 days in a row. You can do it too. You can do it as well.
But then this verse, so if you take the verse farther, 5 through 8, which is perfect for what I've been going through. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. This is message. If you're like, wow, that language sounds casual. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. So no dumb questions with Jesus. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers. I'm a huge worry prayer. Remember, I was just like, I would just like keep saying the same prayer over and over and over again. Like, it was like, he gets it. Yeah. Are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all of your options open.
Yes.
So it's almost like, okay, God, well, if you don't bail me out, then I'm going to do this. So bail me out. Let me know. That's pretty powerful.
Who are we to do that? I'm guilty. I mean, we're all guilty of that. I think we've all at some point been mad at God, or I'll admit that I've been angry with the Lord for a lot of things. Even when Mama died, infertility. I've been angry with him, and getting angry at God does nothing. But what a wonderful God we serve that he's so graceful and merciful to forgive us. And he knows our human nature, and he knows that we're going to have these feelings of resentment towards him at times, but he loves us anyway.
Right.
But, you know, even when I do that, he's quick to convict me and whip me right back into shape.
Yeah.
And say, you know, for those who love me, I have a good plan for them. Well, you're just going to have to trust me, Susanna. You're just going to have to trust me. And so when I do, it's just such a great feeling of peace that right. comes over you when you just fully trust in the Lord. Somebody had commented on something, and I had written a post after Mama died about that, about letting go of the rope and just falling into his arms. And it was Matthew, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think we've talked about that verse before. And somebody who wasn't a believer had left me a comment or sent me an email or something inquiring about faith. They had no faith whatsoever. And they called that a cop-out. And they called me a weak person for was just, you know, trying to put all this grief instead of working through it myself, putting it on the Lord, which is exactly what he instructs us to do. And they were like, you know, but how can you do that? How do you know? How do you know that, you know, when you've put things, when you've given things to the Lord, how can you even live with yourself from doing that? It's like you're not even trying to get through it. It's like a cop out. And the only thing that I could tell them is that I think when you're a believer and you really experience that faith, there's no way to describe the peace that passeth all understanding that comes over your soul. There's no earthly way to describe it. I have gone from wailing and sobbing on my bathroom floor, just in a spiral of darkness, to out of nowhere, the most supernatural feeling of calm and peace. And that's nothing I can do for myself.
Right.
That is nothing but the Lord. And that only happens, though, when you are fully faithful in him.
Right. Yep.
That's when that happens. So I guess people who have never experienced that, I can see how they can say that. People who don't have a relationship, I can see how they can say, well, that's a cop out. You should be fighting harder. You can't just give up. But it's not giving up.
Right. Exactly. It's surrendering.
Surrendering, but in such a sweet,
yes,
a sweet, sweet surrender, not a defeated surrender.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and there is, you know, faith doesn't mean like, well, Lord, I lost my job and I need another one, so I'm going to just sit here on the couch and watch Food Network all day.
No.
Get to work.
No.
You know, that's
not
what that means. Right.
No.
It's, you don't know what to do. You've lost your job. You've lost this. You've lost that. You hit a stumbling block and you don't know what to do or where to go next. And it's saying, I don't know what to do. Please help me.
Show me.
Yes.
What I can do, what I need to do.
Right. And then isn't it Martin Luther King who said that faith is, taking a step without being able to see the whole staircase, you know, he'll just light up that one step. So just step on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I am so controlling and I really feel like I can fix anything. And I've done that in friendships. I have felt that I can befriend people who are suffering or have issues because even if they, treat me badly because of those things, I'm strong enough to handle it because I'm aware, which is just so arrogant. You know, I'm aware that you suffer from these things and then that's why you're treating me badly. So go ahead. It's fine. I can handle it. I mean, no. But, you know, I always feel like, you know, if we are in a financial pickle, I'm like, well, I'll take care of it. I'll figure out what to do. And it's not I've noticed with myself is that I always rely on myself. And in a lot of ways, because of my personality, I can figure it out. And then what happens in those, and then it's like in those moments when I can't, then you start to like question God's existence. He's mm-hmm. like, you never came to me to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know, you were the whole time I'm trying to help guide your path in peace and in light. You're in a panicked frenzy, staying mm-hmm. up all night, worrying, fussing, this and that. You know, just calm down, be quiet, and listen to what I have to say.
Yeah.
And sometimes you ask that and you don't hear anything. So you just have to chill out and keep going and then just be present and aware. So that's one of the things, because then sometimes it's like, well, you know, it's not like God's like, Anna, today on Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's, I highly recommend you make a joke about snacking, you know. And I'm like, thanks, Jesus. You know, obviously that's not how it works. But if you don't know what to do, what I find is that I get out of myself. I go to food. I go to mindless TV. I distract myself when I don't know what to do. So instead, what I'm learning from these verses is that I need to be quiet and to live in the present, to feel my feelings, not try to escape them. So if I feel like I don't know what to do, that's a really horrible feeling for someone with my personality type. To sit in that, to have faith and trust that God knows that there's nothing to worry about, and to enjoy the rest of my day. I told my mom the other day that, you know, I'm worried that I'm missing out on Poppy's infanthood. Because, you know, infanthood goes like a flash anyway. Well, imagine if you're distracted the whole time, worried because you got a book coming out, and what are you going to do, and how are you going to build your platform? You know, it's like, even when you're present and holding them and kissing them, if you're, you know, my brain is somewhere else so much of the time. And so it's learning to be in the moment, to be in the present, to feel the feelings that I'm feeling, and to know that it's going to be okay, that God knows, to give it to him, and to rest in that peace.
Rest is just such an important thing. That's what I spoke on yesterday at this prayer breakfast, is rest. And, you know, you and I have had conversations about how overwhelmed I've been lately with things. And I've been dealing with anxiety that I haven't had in years. And I've just felt that the Lord keeps speaking that word rest to me, because, you know, even God himself rested on the seventh day. Mm-hmm. And I think when we're so, when our minds are just so overwhelmed and we are just so, we're too busy to invite God in. Mm-hmm. We're too busy. And when we're not inviting God in, the enemy is inviting himself in. He finds a way to slither in and to just wreak havoc on everything. And that's what I know happened to me with the anxiety attacks and panic attacks. I haven't had those in years, in years. And it was because I know, and the Lord has taught me through this, you know, you've just been so focused on you and what you need to do and promoting this and doing this. You haven't had time to invite me in. You haven't had time. You haven't made the time to ask me to give you that peace that you know I can give. You haven't been meditating on, you know, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. You haven't been meditating on those things. So like we said a minute ago, he's not just, you know, he says, knock, come to the door and knock, and then he'll answer. But we have to do the knocking.
Yeah.
And we have to invite him in. So such a big thing with this too, though, is not knowing what to do, is sometimes we just have to rest and not do anything.
Yep.
Be still, listen, because from rest comes restoration. Mm-hmm. And from rest comes all these wonderful new creative ideas. And from rest, we can hear his voice and we know the path that he wants us to take. So I think, you know, just like this verse is saying, when you don't know what to do, you have to ask him. But in order to ask him, you have to rest first.
Right.
You have to rest and say, Lord, here I am. Tell me what to do. I surrender it to you. Just tell me. And he will. Every time, there has never been a time when I have not fully, sweetly surrendered to the Lord that he has not told, shown me which way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Creatively. And so, you know, it's like all of a sudden you get this idea and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? You know?
And you know they're God things. You know, when you have such a God idea and you just say, wow, right then I just have to say, thank you, God. I know that was you. That didn't come from me. I'm an idiot. That didn't come from me. I'm too stupid to come up with that.
And sometimes it's less profound. It's subtle. And it's so subtle that we ignore it. And then we're just like, okay, what else? Well, that's not it. What else? And I've had times where I've written stuff down, like I've asked them what to do. And then I've written down, like, I kind of like, oh, okay, I need to make a strategy. So I start writing down the strategy and it's all like making a lot of sense. And then I'm like, okay, God, what do I do? He's like, I just told you to make a strategy.
Yeah.
And you did it. Just do what I just said. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's what I'll do.
He's so patient with us. I'm telling you.
Just, isn't it just?
It's just face palms. Like, Susanna, I told you what to do in October of last year.
And you're still asking.
Do you remember on your face in your closet? I told you. Why haven't you done it?
I know. I know. Lord. Because sometimes we just want it to be, there's something about it that we just don't trust it, or I don't know why we do that. I really don't. It's just like, yeah, but what else? What else?
There's a constant struggle between our flesh and our spirit. Yeah. Constantly. All day, every day. Constant struggle. And when we learn to follow our spirit and what the Lord is telling us, things will be so much easier and will benefit us so much greatly in the long run.
When you talk about rest, I think that resting in this age, this information age is really changing us. And I think that it's so important that we show up fully and spiritually every day, because it's hard to rest. So I can only use the example for me and you building our platforms and our careers, and a lot of that's online.
It's constant.
You think you're going to rest. So you're like, you know what? I'm going to take a break. But there's a fear that if you take a break, because what do we learn? The people who hustle win. Gary Vaynerchuk, who is like one of the top social media business gurus out there, is constantly talking about hustling. I was up till 3 a.m. every night learning new technology. If you're not doing that, stop complaining. You know, you get that feeling like, yeah, oh yeah, if I really do want this, then I do need to be up all night. You know, you just start to get into this frenzy. Then you see people succeeding online, or you get this perception that everybody's winning and you're not. And so then you're like, I've got to move. I've got to work. I've got to hustle. Let's take that work stuff out. Let's talk about social. FOMO. It's like everybody's got FOMO, fear of missing out.
Everybody.
It is like before the internet, I could only guess what you were doing on the weekend, and I'd probably have to give you a call to find out for sure. So I could rest knowing that, you know, I'm like, well, I'm just going to stay in today. We're older now, so we don't really have a lot of these issues, but our poor teenagers, I mean, it's kind of like, oh, so you guys went to a concert and didn't invite me. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Or, oh, you're doing this and this and this, and I'm not doing that. I mean, you feel like you will miss out if you rest.
Here it is. We know more than we have ever known, but we are stupider than ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
We really are. We are absolutely stupid when it comes to our health, our mental health. How do we, you know, Gary's saying hustle, hustle, hustle. How do we know how he is mentally? He may be driving himself crazy.
I honestly think, and I hate to say this because I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's also his personality. I do think that there is I certainly don't want to say ADHD or anything like that, but you can even tell when he talks that there's a manic energy that is a part of his personality that I don't have. So I think I'm going to show up crazy. I mean, I've got a laid back, chill demeanor. It's the way I was made. So if I'm going to try to show up and be Gary, it's not going to work. But yeah,
We don't have to be Gary. I mean, God bless Gary and all his endeavors.
Yeah, exactly.
But that kind of thing just makes me so anxious. And like I've said, when I'm just going running ragged like that, my soul is not at peace.
Exactly.
I am not at peace. My home life suffers. I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible wife. I'm yelling at everybody. I feel like I just need to go sit in a dark room and smoke cigarettes all day.
Yeah.
It's just not a... It's not the way God intended us to live, I don't think.
No.
I know he didn't.
No.
He came so that we may have life and have it abundantly, yes. But in the grand scheme of things, all this internet and what we do, Anna, is I believe God's given us both a purpose and God's given us both a platform. This podcast we're doing right here, I believe, has been ordained by the Lord. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. But let's think about in the grand scheme of things how you were talking earlier about what am I going to post today? What am I going to do today? And I do the same thing. What am I going to do if I don't post something? Somebody's going to leave. They're going to leave. They're going to get bored with me. In the grand scheme, what does it all mean?
Exactly.
What does it even mean? This life is just goes by in the twinkle of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it all mean? We're driving ourselves crazy for what?
Yep.
For earthly validation.
Yep.
That's all it is. And I think, and don't get me wrong, I don't think that God wants us not to be successful people. There are many successful people that the Lord has blessed and given success. But at some time, you know, sometimes we, like our verse today, we just put that first and that becomes our idol.
Yeah.
And nothing is going to align when we do that. Nothing is going to work when we do that.
He wants us to work. He wants us to sow seeds. He wants us to toil, but he doesn't want us. You do the work, you show up, you be consistent, say what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
And then rest and trust that whatever you planted will bloom.
Amen.
And if for whatever reason it didn't, that you've learned a lesson through that obstacle. Okay, well, the soil wasn't rich at this point, you know, whatever you want to, however you want to take that metaphor, instead mm-hmm. of a constant panic. Because what that says is that I don't know if God is going to give me what I want unless I sit here and panic and hustle and worry. You know, that's really what you're saying, even though you may not want to say that. When I'm worrying all the time, I have nothing to say today. Oh God, what am I going to write today? Or what should I do? For instance, I'm going to come out with, I've started the book proposal with my agent for Life's Too Short for Crappy Friends. And my platform is Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's, which is laugh a minute, you know, so I have to figure out what am I going to do? Because she goes, I really want you to start writing this type of material now to get us prepared. And so that your fans are also kind of prepared for this too. Not all the time, but just start to, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that going to look like?
Right.
What do I do? And so I just sit there and I worry. So then I'm just putting out another video about, you know, I keep acting like I'm hating on the videos when actually I really secretly love them. So I really don't. I really enjoy them. But you start to then realize, well, who am I? Am I this funny video woman? Am I a writer? What do I need to focus on? Should I just be focusing on the book and leave social media right now? What if mm-hmm. I completely lose my platform? I mean, there's so many questions, so much things to worry over. And I know that this is specifically for what Susanna and I do for a living, but I know y'all can relate either in your home life or your church life or your work life where it's this, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So you're toiling and you're worrying and you're fussing. And that's not, you know, that's not it. And then again, guys, how great is it when something bad happens that we can laugh and say, okay, what do I need to learn here?
Yeah.
Because it almost makes something that sucks kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I really didn't have to freak out and be pissed. Like, this was actually kind of fun. You know, like when I was about ready to work and the grill knocked over and a whole bunch of fat and grease from the thing at the bottom flew all over our windows and we had to go buy degreaser for stucco. It was a nightmare. But, you know, I was like, you know what? This is an obstacle. This is me learning patience and trust.
Right.
And it ended up being a lot of fun running that errand with our family and buying stuff and laughing. And all that to say, we get to choose our thoughts. And this goes back to the verse we had before. Is this challenge going to ruin me and take me down and no longer make me able to serve God with my gifts and talents? Or is it just one thing that I can learn from, that I can demonstrate my faith and actually, I was reading the other day, a woman who, her first book that she wrote failed pretty badly. Nobody bought it, but because nobody bought it, it caused her to write another book that is like a national, you know, which is of course a New York Times bestseller, huge, but she had to fail huge first. And I was like, can you imagine writing an entire book that goes nowhere ever?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
gosh.
So much of your blood, sweat. I mean, I think it was like 2 full years of her life writing this book that's gone nowhere. You know, we would say just self-publish that thing. What are you, crazy? But still, it just went nowhere. And you think, oh my gosh, forget it. I'm never going to write again. That was 2 years of my life for nothing. No, it wasn't. It was the training for what you're meant to do. So if you're
perseverance.
So if there's any way, and I know this is so hard, but if there's any way that through the obstacles, we can consider it a gift and be like, okay, cool. This is something that I can use to learn because this is just one more thing. And honestly, I don't think the Lord just sits there and just throws, it's almost like dodgeball. He's just throwing balls at us to see how we handle it. Like, here's another problem. That's not how it is. But knowing that this is, that God also wants us to be sharp and to be smart and to be able to help other people, that this is actually kind of cool and a blessing. I don't know. It's a totally different way to look at things. And
there's a great song out by Mercy Me, Even If, that says, even if you don't, my hope is you alone. Saying, you know, even if what I'm praying for doesn't happen, or even if I write this book and it fails, my hope will continue to be in you.
Yeah.
And knowing that you hold this in your hand and that you have a better plan for me.
I believe a great philosopher once said, God's greatest gifts is unanswered prayers.
Yeah, the Book of Garth.
Chris Gaines.
I saw that when I ran into an ex in Walmart one time. I said, Lord, pit stains, Trace Adkins tea with the shirt sleeves ripped off, grease on his nose, gained 300 pounds. I didn't even know what he was saying because I was just singing, sometimes I thank God for, in my head. I may have slipped up and said it out loud. I don't know.
Oh, I remember when I was engaged and he broke up with me. I thought my world was over. I thought a man would never love me again, especially not a man as good looking as him, because he was really good looking. And still a really, really great guy. But kind of, I think, you know, I think he's living with his parents. I don't know. I know is that whatever would have happened, it would have been a disaster. It would have been a disaster of a marriage. And boy, it's like, oh, thank God. You know, you can just, you can really look back and just see God working in your life. But in the moment, we can't feel it. We're running to the bear claws and we don't want to live in it. We don't want to face it. We don't want to trust it. We don't want to have faith in it. We just want to escape from it and escape from our lives. And listen, we don't have much time on here. So we got to be around for ourselves, and be present. So,
and as for the worrying, of course, one of my favorite scriptures in Matthew is, can worry add even 1 hour to your life?
Exactly.
Don't worry about today. Tomorrow will have worries of its own.
Yep.
And I think we all have to remind ourselves of that daily. Because I like you. I'm a chronic worrier.
Yeah, I know.
I'm worried right now because I haven't thawed out the hamburger meat.
God, is that the worst? Listen, is that the worst?
What am I going to do, Anna? I'm going to have to go take a Klonopin. I don't know. I'm worried about what are we going to eat. We got ball practice tonight. I haven't thought out the hamburger meat. This needs to be done. I got to go pick up these kids here. So, I mean, what am I going to do?
I didn't thaw out the meat yesterday, and I was like, great. What the heck am I going to make? I felt the same thing, and then it was too late to thaw it. And so I just lost hope.
But you know what? You can't say... You have to say, you know, some people take things such a wrong way. You can't say, well, I didn't thaw out the hamburger meat. I'm just not going to worry about it. And then your kids haven't eaten in 2 days. You can't do that. The Lord's not going to come down a cloud and cook up your tacos. You got to do some things yourself.
What you got, it's calming down, listening, being present, moving one foot in front of the other, and then getting out the deep frozen black bean burgers in the cavern of our freezer that I found, cooking those babies up and put them in a pita.
I got 4 frozen fish sticks on the floor in the freezer.
Get
on
it.
The floor. Fell out of the box. Bam.
Problem protein. Solved.
Protein.
Problem solved. But isn't that much better, though, than panicking and being upset and then being like, screw it. And then your husband comes home and you're in a bad mood because you're like, oh, let me guess, you're hungry. Well, I've been busy all day long. I forgot about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the difference.
This goes hand in hand. Let me tell you this really quickly. Yesterday when I had to go to that prayer breakfast, I had to leave my house at 6 a.m. So I had to get up at 5 and I had to leave at 6. And so my husband was responsible for getting the kids ready for school, getting them up and ready. And the boy is not a morning person. His clock goes off for 45 minutes before he even gets out of bed. Mm-hmm. Like he's become immune to the noise. Mm-hmm. And so I was worried about it. The whole drive there, I worried because he's such a mama's boy. I do everything for him, Anna. He's 7 and I'm still, you know, putting his pants on him in the morning because he's he's slow. And I don't mean,
lackadaisical.
Yes, that's the word. He moves slow. He takes his time. So I panic. Mm-hmm. And my husband says, let him be late. Yeah. If he's going to get in trouble, I can't do that. I don't want my baby to have any kind of suffering. I don't want him to have to go to the office and get a pink slip. So I'm up there putting his shirt on him, helping him brush his teeth, 7 years old. And yesterday I got home and asked him, I said, so how did everything go with the kids this morning? He said, it was fine. I told him to get up. He knew I wasn't coming up there to help him, and he got his stuff done. And so I really started thinking, he knows mama's going to do everything for him. So why do it? So yesterday, this does apply. Yesterday, I quit worrying about him not getting here on time. He's just going to have to suffer some consequences. He's going to have to do this. There was a couple of things I asked him to do. He did not do it because I'm a control freak like you.
Yeah.
And I like things to get done and to get done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm controlling this child and helping. My controlling nature means that I'm doing everything for him just to get us done and out the door.
Yeah.
So this morning he got up and I did not. And it took everything in me. I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry. I'm going to chill out. If he's late for school, that's a lesson he needs to learn. Mm-hmm. Mama can't help him do everything. I did not go up there. I let that clock go off for 45 minutes. And I screamed up there one time. I said, son, you're going to be late. And he took a little long to get done, but he finally got down here. I didn't freak out. I didn't flip out. And everything was fine. But I just went back to that scripture. Quit worrying. And if he gets in trouble, let him get in trouble and learn a lesson about it. So I know that a big problem of him being such a mama's baby and but he's the youngest and you just want to love on him and do everything for him. But in a way that's kind of hurting him because he doesn't know much about responsibility. And a lot of that's my fault, is the chronic worry over him.
Well, then let's take that a step further. Obviously God's not chronically worrying, but God lets us be late.
That's right. Amen.
He lets us be late. He's like, your alarm clock's going off. Gonna shut it off. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. He lets us be late. He lets us fall over things. He lets us show up with our shirt inside out because we're in such a hurry. I mean, he just lets us do it because that's how we learn. And it feels like the whole world is against us. No, it isn't. You're fine.
That's how my son feels. Why you not help me?
Exactly. Don't you love me?
That's what he said.
Yeah. Don't you love me?
You don't care if I have to go see the principal. You don't care if I'm late for school. And I'm like, oh, baby, hurry up. Let's get our socks on. Yes, I do care. No, I don't care, boy.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's like, no, go ahead and put your own socks on. You're fine. Go ahead. There are times in our life where God literally spoon feeds us. And I do believe that's him like, I just want you to know that I'm here. Focus on me. But then he backs off.
Yeah.
You know?
Maturity.
Exactly. Maturity. Yes. Exactly. There are times where.
Is that in our scripture today? Is it not?
Yeah.
We're mature. Right.
Absolutely. So, our prayer for you all listening today is that you consider life's tests and challenges to be a gift and really give it over to God and just see how he's working in your life today. And,
I've got a challenge. I got a wart coming back up on my thumb here. I'd like y'all to pray that away.
Oh, on the thumb too. It's going to be touching things.
Well, I had it for 2 years. I had it from my mama died and she was yanking on it and trying to get it out. And finally I dug in there and scooped it out root and all. And I'll be dead gum if that sucker ain't coming back. You can't kill a wart.
They're like cockroaches honestly.
I know. That's what I said. I said, when apocalypse comes, my thumb will still be laying there with a wart on it.
Growing bigger than ever.
Growing. Taking over the new world.
All right, everybody.
It'll become a zombie.
Isn't it like haunting people? It's like, oh, God, what is that?
It'll be the one to take Rick Grimes out. My thumb wart.
Yeah. Yes.
I wish it would. Okay, anyway.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope that you were uplifted if you needed it. And to listen, follow us. You can follow me at Ha-Has for Hoo-Has by Anna Lynn Thomas. And you can follow Susanna at Whoa Susanna. For those of you...
Anna, sorry. My book came out yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that. Find it on Amazon, Unfortunate Ursula Underwood. It has a good message about forgiveness and touches on a lot of things we've been talking about. You can find it on Amazon in paperback and Kindle for now, and it'll be on other platforms for sale soon.
Run, don't walk to Amazon right now. Order it. For those of you who are local, I am performing this Sunday, Mother Knows Best, at the Stave, which is in Papillion, Nebraska, and I will be reading an essay along with some other local writers. It's $13 to get in, and I believe that there is a really fun raffle, and Ed Sheehan, how do you say his name? Is it Sheen? Sheehan? Tickets are the ultimate prize. No, I wish. That'd be freaking rad. No, but that's like the ultimate ticket prize you can win, I guess. But it's called Mother Knows Best. Should be a really fun night, so you can come see me out there. So anyway, Susanna, I'm so thankful for you. Until next time. Bye.